for I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea and for all those who have not personally seen my face. The Apostle Paul is speaking here. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I'm absent in body, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete. And he is head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. Thank you, Jesus. And when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him, through Christ. Amen. Like many people, I've been not feeling 100% this week, or at the top of my game. I've been very congested. I felt fuzzy. I felt like I'm living in a fog. You know that feeling? Some of you look like you're feeling that right now. But God is faithful, 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, through whom you and I were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And light did eventually dawn on Marblehead, and I began to get a glimmer of what the Lord was wanting to do and say today. He started speaking to me Thursday night, and I heard and saw, stand in the gap. There weren't many of us at corporate prayer, but you know, the Bible says he's not restrained by many or by few. And the Lord impressed upon me that something powerful was happening. on Thursday night. And we were praying or standing in the gap for many and for our church in prayer. And then he said, close the ranks. So he was again, in a military sense, I saw each one of you falling into your place in the body, where there was a missing, where there was a need, or where there was a hole in the wall of defense. The Lord was saying, close the ranks, and people were responding and coming into line, almost in, you know, linking arms together. And then it was a progressive thing, and once that happened, I saw movement in the spirit, like a motion of you and I and the church beginning to move forward when we commit ourselves to do what God is asking and what he's saying. There's going to be some more movement, and there already is movement in the spiritual realm. And then, you know, I don't think you have any idea sometimes what it's like when I come to a Saturday and I don't feel like I have a word for you. It's not for lack of desire. It's not for willingness to hear what God wants to say. But, you know, as you know, sometimes you just don't, you're not with it. And I hadn't been feeling well, and that's not a good time spiritually for me, because my antennas are like this instead of like this. But again, 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful. As soon as I sat down at my desk, I had nothing. I'm being honest. I had nothing. What am I going to say? I immediately heard the words, cleared for takeoff, from the Holy Spirit. And then I began to go to the scriptures and study the scriptures and find out what it is he wanted to say to us today. And the final piece of the puzzle, if you will, most of you, if not all of you, were here last week when I shared about the little things that were on the halls, cough drop paper. So in order to keep my passage is free, I've been using those still. And so as I sat down, I pulled one out of the package, and this is what it says. Three things. Buckle down and push forth. Secondly, you can do it and you know it. And thirdly, let's hear your battle cry. That's significant. It's not just a coincidence. In other words, God is looking for a response from us. And when we give a shout or a battle cry, that's an indication that we're going to respond, and we're trusting him. No matter what we see or what we think, our trust is in him. And did any of you follow on the news the SpaceX launch earlier this week on Tuesday? And so I was immediately, as the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, I was thinking of that launch. And there are many things actually in it. You can read some of it if you want afterwards for saving time. But I thought it was curious and interesting that there was three cores, speaking of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then they also put a red multi-thousand Tesla inside that thing and sent it into outer space. I don't know, and that said a red Tesla for a red planet. And I thought about the blood of Christ and so forth. And there was more little things there, but you're welcome to look at it later. But I also thought, you know, I love to fly. I'm not afraid of flying. And every commercial flight I've ever been on, you don't move from the pad until the control tower says taxi out to the runway. And then you don't move from your position on the runway until the tower says, and then the captain also says, the tower has cleared us for takeoff. And so that there's something that should resonate in your spirit about that saying there, cleared for takeoff. I believe if you receive it, the Lord, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us personally, as well as a church, that we are cleared for takeoff or to begin to take off and into the things that God has preordained for us. Jesus has paid the price and made a way for you to succeed and prosper, not just to make it or to get by, but to prosper and to succeed in whatever it is he has planned for you. And identifying those things is important, but then doing something about it is the key thing. So there are a number of elements in this passage in Colossians 2 that speak about preparing us or getting us ready to launch or to be cleared for takeoff. Number one, from verse 2, it says, knit together in love. That word means joined together, to tied together, to link firmly and closely, to cause to grow together, to become drawn together. And I know that it's not just saying that's awesome enough that we're knit together in love with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and not diminishing that when I say I believe also we are, because of that agape love of the Father, there's a knitting, there's a connecting that he does with every believer, particularly in a local body of believers. To be knit together. And I believe the Lord wants you to understand that, how important that is. And I was remembering way back in the early 90s, and Kathy would remember this, you know, I just think it's silly when people, you know, even when it rains like this, people don't come to church. I'm like, what? So there was a snowstorm, and we were living in Littleton, and I said, I'm going to church. And she looked at me like, yeah, right. I said, no, I'm going to church. And so I'd never been to this church, but I wanted to go in Chelmsford. And so I went, and because they met at a public school, the township would make them cancel because they didn't want to be liable. So I showed up. There's nobody there except for one lone pickup truck. And one of the elders of the church, actually, he was the one with the pastor's heart in the group of elders, John, was there. And I sat in his pickup truck for 2 hours talking with him. And God knit our hearts together. And then we joined that church and became involved in that church for 6 or so years and God had a lot of things to for us to do and to be participating in. But the point is, you know, God did a knitting of that man's heart and my heart. And that knit, we're still knit, whether, you know, if I don't see him for years, if I see him, there's a joy that rises in my heart. And God wants us to do that with one another. And that's part of being cleared for takeoff, is there has to be a unity. We don't have to agree. Unity is not agreeing all the time. That's not unity. But unity is we're going to go together in spite of whatever differences we might have. And so the scriptures, Colossians 2:19, the entire body being supplied and held together, same word as knit, by the love of Christ. Ephesians 4:16, the whole body held together, same word, building up itself in love. There it is. I think we don't understand how powerful the love of God is. Because if we did, we would allow it to do its work in us. And then, in turn, that same love that's at work in us would be extended to our brothers and sisters also. So we need to allow the love of God to impact or affect us, or affect you, so that you can affect others. And this is the way the Holy Spirit said, that you would infect, that your presence would infect them with the love of Jesus. You understand that? Not in a sense of getting sick, but in a sense of getting lovesick. Amen? Recognizing your absolute desperation and need of the love of Christ. Secondly, in verses 5 and 7, being cleared for takeoff, the stability or steadfastness of our faith. Verse 5 talks about the stability. Paul's talking to them about the stability of their faith, meaning the support, the firmness or strength. And as on I think it was the part of Paul's second missionary journey in Acts 16:5, it reads this way, so the churches were being strengthened, same word, in the faith, and were increasing in numbers daily. Likewise, 1 Peter 5:9, referring to facing and overcoming the enemy, it says, but resist him firm, is that word for stability, resist him firm in faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren, and I would say those you are knit together in love with, they're going through the same things that you are. In other words, if I were to paraphrase that, who are in the world. And one of the biggest lies of the enemy is that you swallow is no one knows what I'm going through. No one feels what I'm feeling, and that's not true. First and foremost, Jesus feels it, and Jesus knows it. But this scripture in 1 Peter says that, you know, you're not alone. The struggles we face are going on in many of us. Back to Colossians 2, verse 7, it uses the phrase established in your faith. That word means to confirm, secure, or strengthen. And I won't read all the verses for sake of time today, but 1 Corinthians 1, 4 to 9, I would encourage you to do your own little digging in the Word, 1 Corinthians 4 to 9. But verse 8 says, talking about Jesus, it says, He will confirm you or establish you or strengthen you until the end. In other words, whatever struggles we go through in life, He's going to be with us right till the end, until it's time to go to meet Him in the heavenlies. That should be a comforting thought to you. And the Amplified renders it this way. First Corinthians 1:8. And He will establish you to the end, keep you steadfast, give you strength, and guarantee your vindication. That is, be your warrant against all accusation or indictment, so that you will be guiltless and irreproachable in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Do you understand the impact of what the Scripture says, of how committed, that's true covenant, by the way, how committed Jesus is to each and every believer? That's what the Scripture's saying there. And so why would we get discouraged? Why would we give up? Why would we turn from the faith if we understand the truth of the Word of God? So we need to draw from His strength, and we will never be lacking. 1 Peter 4:11. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Prepared, secured, empowered, and cleared for takeoff. You understand? Everything you go through, every circumstance, every challenge, every obstacle is custom made for you to be victorious in Christ, to demonstrate to you how committed the Lord is to you. Cleared for takeoff. Number three, from verse 7, rooted and built up in Him. I love this one. It says, having been firmly rooted. It's a done deal, my friends, once you receive Jesus Christ. Your roots are in Him from that day forward. Ephesians 3, 17 to 19. So specifically, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. If you don't get a hold of how awesome His love is, you can't move forward. You can't push into your destiny, because you can't do it without that love, that constant nourishing on His love. He will reveal that to you, is how committed He is. Philippians 2:2. The chapter heading there is Be Like Christ. And it says, make my joy complete or full, same word, by being, and I would say, expressing your completeness or fullness in Christ, by being of the same mind, the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. We can do this because we're in union, or hopefully daily communion, with the Lord. I need a moment. Now, I have probably a fuller understanding of this imagery here that Paul is talking about when he says rooted and grounded in Christ. That word rizomai, or riza in the Greek, is the word that we get the English word rhizomes from. And when you look out at a lawn, all you see is the green grass above the soil. But there's a whole lot more going on underneath the soil. What happens originally when the grass seed comes up, there's just one solitary root for every grass seed. But then, as the lawn gets cut, it forces the root system to go like this. It sends out the rhizomes, and the more cutting, think of it in a spiritual sense, the more challenges, the more struggles you have, the more your root system in Christ gets extended, because those rhizomes are what pick up all the nutrients and the moisture from the soil. And so it's essential that if the lawn is going to be healthy, it can't just look green. Just because it's green doesn't mean it's healthy. But if it's going to be healthy, it has to have an extensive root system. And so just think of that in a spiritual sense, how essential our root system is in the Lord, so that when the storms of life come, we don't buckle. We don't cut and run, as they say. We stand. We stay strong. Second thing in verse 7 there, it talks about being built up in him. Acts 20, verse 32, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So we need to develop a good root system that feeds on the bread of life, John 6, verse 33, 35, and 48. Jesus saying, I'm the bread of life. There. He has cleared you and I for takeoff, but are you ready for takeoff? Are you believing it? Are you believing that the Lord wants you to move forward? That God has more for you personally, and that he has more for us together as a body of believers. If you don't, you're not going to hear that clarion call, that clear call of the Holy Spirit when he says, this is a call to arms, if you were here last week. It's getting ready to move forward against the enemy and into the promised land that God has for you and I. Number four, it says in verses 10 and 13, you are made complete and you are made alive. Two separate things there. Verse 10, in him you have been made complete or full. Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ, knit together in love with him, Colossians 2:2, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And Philippians 2:2, the chapter heading there is, be like Christ. Make my joy complete or full, same word, by being, or I would say, expressing your completeness or your fullness in Christ, by being of the same mind, the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. By being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, being in union or communion with the Lord. Maybe cross-threading some things here from point three. It says in verse 13, we were made alive. He made us alive together with him. Ephesians 2, 4 to 6, but God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, how much more so now? But even when we were dead in our transgressions, it says, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And so, being made alive is what John 10:10 talks about. I call that a perfect 10. He came that you might have life, and life more abundantly. And the Passion Translation reads, but I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. Life in its fullness until it overflows. That's Jesus. That's his intention for us. Not to live an ordinary existence, but to live an extraordinary existence. So we need to cultivate intimacy with Jesus, and he will reveal more of himself, and also he will reveal more of who you are in him. You know, I think sometimes we have such a limited conception of our potential. And if you spend time with the Lord, you will find that his idea of your potential is probably far greater than your idea of the potential that you have in Christ. And finally, number five, we were made rich, I would say. And it was interesting that part of the word that came forth about the poor and the rich earlier there, it said, he canceled your debt, having nailed it to the cross. Oh, my goodness. He nailed it. You understand? He nailed it once and for all. He did it. It was accomplished. It's finished, Jesus said. 1 Peter 2:24. He bore our sins on the cross. The sins you haven't yet committed, he bore those on the cross. I know we can't conceive of that, but that's the awesomeness and the impact of the cross of Jesus Christ. It extends into the future. We don't think that way, but God does. He bore our sins on the cross. 1 Corinthians 1:25 to 31. I'm not going to read all of that. I encourage you to. Verse 30. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's your inheritance package. And I don't think we fully realize sometimes what Jesus has done and what he continues to do in your life and in mine. I was just a couple of times this week, even though I was out of it, I just thought it was so amazing that even though I was in a fog, I could feel his presence. I would even say I felt his pleasure come over me. And I texted Rich yesterday when I finished my sermon about 7:30 last night. Because I honestly, earlier in the day, I didn't know if I was going to be able to preach today. But it says in 1 Corinthians 12:9, I believe it is, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. And it was as if once I committed myself to sit before the Lord, it was as if he gave me a booster shot. And I was just able to go right through and complete whatever it is I'm sharing today. And I was thinking of the song, I don't know the title, but, and now let the weak say I am strong, let the poor say I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us, give thanks. Amen. And so that word that's used there in he canceled your debt and nailed it to the cross. You know, I'm always scratching in the scripture, and that is the only time that word is used, and it shouldn't surprise you because it was the only time in history. And Jesus was the only one in history that could cancel your debt. So we need to ask for and accept our pre-flight instructions. This is how I got it. And be ready to draw upon his grace to enable you to fly, to move forward into all he has planned. You have been cleared for takeoff. And it's flight 555, by the way. James 4:6, finishing here. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I know sometimes life is overwhelming because it's overwhelming for me. But Jesus isn't going anywhere. I mean, that's what Bernice was illustrating. You know, she has more than nine lives. She has eternal life, most importantly. And, you know, we just need to reach out to one another, because if you can isolate yourself from the life of Christ, from the body of Christ, that's when you're going to go down. And that's when you're going to take a hit. Not that you're going to take a mortal hit or a fatal hit, but that's what, you know, these things being knit together and all these things that are in this passage, why they're so essential. Because you can feel alone. You can feel like nobody cares, but it's not true. It's really a lie. And whether it's the pastor or whoever it is, that's why it's so essential to pray for one another, to be obedient when you get a prompting from the Holy Spirit. Do you think it's a coincidence when somebody comes into your mind or really into your spirit? It's not coincident, because that person needs lifting up. God wants us to stand in the gap, close the ranks, those things he was showing me. And so I just encourage you. What did it say? It said, buckle down and push forth. You can do it and you know it. And let's hear your battle cry. Father, we just confess our total dependence upon your love and our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just pray that you would take us today, even today, Lord, to a deeper place, and we would get a deeper revelation of your love, of your commitment, of your covenant, and also for the future we have in you, for your honor and glory, I pray. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being here. I do appreciate all of you. And I hope I was able to communicate the Lord's heart, because I'm still not feeling like too chipper. Nonetheless, I will go down to join with you downstairs for a little bit. God bless you. Certainly you come for specific prayer needs before you go. God bless.